Joseph.
Who back when?
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special bonus episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast. I am Ponkin, and with me tonight, on this beautiful evening, is JD.
Have you seen the weather recently? We have a hurricane blowing across the United Kingdom, and you're saying it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, do you know why it's beautiful? Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, that voice of positivity, yes, that's JD. It is beautiful because today, tonight, this morning, on your commute, we are going to do a Christopher Eccleston retrospective. This bonus episode is all about Chris Eccleston. We have just finished reviewing his run as the Doctor. We've just rounded off the very first season of the Doctor Who revival. And now we're going to discuss our impressions, our favourite moments, our least favourite moments, the best foes, the worst foes, the greatest aliens, the dumbest, stupid, shit-ass moments that may or may not involve farting. This is basically just an Eccleston wankathon, this entire bonus episode.
No, it is. I can't wait until I get invited on to do the Hartnell one so I can do my Hartnell impressions for the entire thing.
Yes, we will absolutely have to do that. Coming up soon, by the way.
Yes, yes. Invite me on. Yes. Chesterfield.
Okie dokie, let's start with something very, very basic. Ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize this, but if you go to whobackwhen.com, there is a stats button at the very top, and if you click that, you can see the statistics of Who Back When, the ratings, as how we have rated every single episode in New Who, Audiobook Who, and Classic Who. They're all up there. So what we're going to do, let's think about, now that we've seen all of Season 1 again, what were our top three episodes compared to how we rated the episodes at the time? Are you ready for this, JD?
I'm ready!
Have you thought of what your three favorite episodes are of season one? And you're gonna have to tell us why as well.
Okay. Am I doing them in reverse order?
Yes. Number three, two, one.
Okay, number three is The Empty Child.
Oh, okay.
And deliberately The Empty Child, not The Empty Child, Straight the Doctor Dances.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm starting to do these as two-parters, then they get a bit messy. So Empty Child, part one, is one of the most atmospheric episodes of Doctor Who from a horror perspective that you will ever manage to watch. It's got very good production values. It's got a great cast. At the time, you've got all of this, Are You My Mummy? And, you know, it's just so different from the things that have gone before it. Bear in mind, only two episodes before The Empty Child, you'd been watching The Long Game, and only four episodes before it, you'd had to suffer through World War III.
You're very true.
And, you know, so we've gone from World War III to World War II, and in World War II, obviously the production values were significantly higher.
Very interesting. Not just that, might I add, it's a really good story. In fact, it's a great story because at this point it has not yet been worsened by the conclusion of the second part of that story. At this point, we've got that great setup. We've got the thriller effect and the horror and everything, and it seems so clever, and we haven't yet realized all the logical plot holes.
Yeah, correct.
My number three is Dalek, and I have a feeling that your numbers two and three and my numbers two and three are probably
the opposite way around.
Spoiler alert. I've put Dalek on number three because, okay, there are so many things that make Dalek a fantastic Doctor Who episode, and all of these reasons combined are why Dalek is in my top three. I mean, being in the top three already, that means, you know, sainthood. That means you get a golden sonic screwdriver. It means that you're forever in the Hall of Fame. It is an amazing achievement, right? Oh my God, I'm sure Russ and the Moth and everyone, they're just hoping and praying to be in my top three. However, I don't think it's as good as The Empty Child. It's got this fantastically good setup, but it doesn't have... Maybe it's because it seems a little bit more like almost a bottle episode. It's so claustrophobic. Maybe that's what sets it aside a little bit from Empty Child to me. I like the dynamic interaction between the Doctor and all these other characters, whereas in Dalek, where you get... It's almost a one-on-one. It's Doctor against Dalek, and it is kick-ass, but it's still missing something else.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay.
I'm going to agree on some of your comments, but mostly I'm not.
Okay, because it is your number two, you have already said.
Because I'll get to... obviously, moving back to myself, we get to number two, and it is Dalek.
Okay.
You know, the number one and number two here are just so amazingly close, it's not even funny. We have the first hint of what I would call Eccleston's real anger coming out in the episode. We have probably one of the more scary Dalek appearances that's ever been done.
Mm. But oddly and ironically, at the same time, its most human appearance.
Only at the end, you know, and frankly, you can mostly ignore that. And I try to, because that's not the point of this episode. The point is Daleks are meant to be terrifying. Now, for someone like me who's lived through episodes such as Day of the Daleks, Destiny of the Daleks, you got a period in the sort of Pertwee and Baker or early Baker era, sorry, ignoring Genesis of the Daleks, where the Daleks just were not really scary.
Okay.
You could actually kill them by putting a piece of cloth over their eye stalk and pushing them into a lake. But what Dalek did was bring back that sort of fear factor, that sort of terror.
Yeah, and I remember the two of us discussing when we reviewed Dalek that this brought back the notion of one single Dalek is enough. Like, essentially, you don't need an army of Daleks. If there's one Dalek, all of humanity, all of mankind, even if they're armed to the teeth, they're not going
to
beat it.
We'll get to an episode later called Doomsday, and that will show three Daleks against an entire army of Cybermen. And you just know that the thousands upon thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Cybermen actually stand no chance.
Mm.
That's why this is my number two. It's a great story. It's so amazingly acted by Eccleston that he manages to be so far above a 5.0 in this that it takes away the minus 17 that Adam brings with it.
Interesting. Looking at the stats, I'm pretty sure I can guess what your number one's going to be.
Ah, but what's your number two? We haven't discussed your number two yet.
Oh, well, my number two is Empty Child.
Why?
Why? Okay, do you mean why is it better than Dalek, or why is it my number two?
Why is it better than Dalek?
Okay, fine. So, it's difficult to say why it's better than Dalek, but I can tell you why I enjoy it more than Dalek. I think it has more of a sort of rewatchability factor for me than Dalek does. Empty Child has much of the same level of claustrophobia as Dalek. Dalek is set underground in a freaking bunker. Empty Child is set in London, but it's Blitz London and limited to what, like 3 or 4 locations, and there's very limited movement because you might get killed by Nazis, you might get killed by bombs, you might get killed by like falling rubble, or you might get killed by a fucking child with a gas mask stuck to its face. It has zombies, awesome, no brainer there, no pun intended. It has Captain Jack for the very first time. It introduces Captain Jack, and even though there are so many things that annoyed both of us in that episode about Captain Jack, like, why would you have champagne atop a spaceship next to the Big Ben during the London Blitz? That's so dumb. That in itself deserves an award. I wonder if that's going to feature further down my list. But despite all of that, you do get Captain Jack. You do get that very first sort of sonic off between the Doctor and Jack. It's hilarious. Rose, awesome. Foe, awesome. It's so atmospheric. It's such a creepy horror episode. I would happily introduce someone who has never seen an Eccleston Doctor Who episode to Eccleston Doctor Who with The Empty Child. I wouldn't necessarily do it with Dalek.
I would probably, if someone had seen original Who, classic Who,
mm-hmm.
introduce them with Dalek.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it is a far better Dalek story than most of they would have been familiar with.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's probably true. Okay, hang on, here, Dalek question. I'm sure you've seen Into the Dalek. How would you compare the Dr. Dalek relationship there to the Dr. Dalek relationship in Dalek?
Christopher Eccleston would have blown it up.
He probably would have. But it's a very similar dynamic, right?
Oh, it's almost identical, only Dalek is better.
Okay. Oh, I'm not sure I agree with that. You've also got Adam in Dalek. Adam is pretty shit.
Yeah,
but you've got Van Staten, and Van Staten is pretty shit.
But you can manage to ignore Adam because the Eccleston Dalek stuff is so significantly better than anything else in the show, probably up until this point.
Well, yeah, that's true, but it's also the fourth episode in the serial, right?
Sixth.
Sixth? What was the fourth one?
Alien to London.
Oh, shitballs, you're right. Okay, sorry. My bad. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, fine. So far, your two is my three. My three is your two. your number one, sir, and my number one. Let's say this together. I'm guessing they're the same one, okay? 3, 2, 1, Parting of the Ways. Bingo. Oh, you even got the in there. I totally missed it out. Okay, why is it your number one?
It manages to have a Deus Ex Machina, which I don't care about.
Okay.
It manages to have a plot resolution, which is quite emotional. It has Noel Clark actually being incredibly good.
Yeah, I know.
See, Noel, told you, get you in this episode again. It has.
I would add that, by the way, sorry to cut you off there, I would add that to, like, my top most surprising moment in Doctor Who. The, like, oh, wait, hang on, what? Mickey Rickey isn't absolute garbage? Pretty surprising, I think.
Jackie Tyler.
Yes.
Yeah, Jackie Tyler, Camille Kajuri is great in it. Eccleston's great. The hologram, Emergency Program 1.
Yeah, Princess Leia moment. Wait. Sorry. Gotta cut you off. Is that what it's called? Emergency Protocol 1?
Yes.
Dude, isn't that exactly what Captain Jack called his emergency protocol when he got a martini?
Do you know what? I have no idea.
Holy shit. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to live Google this. I think it is. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, Emergency Protocol 1 is the TARDIS taking Rose home.
Okay. Oh, and Jack Harkness 417. Emergency Protocol
417.
Oh, thank you, Google, for crushing my dreams. Still, pretty good.
Yeah. So you have probably one of the better villains that you've had all season in the Emperor Dalek.
Very true.
He's probably still around here, actually. he lives in my hat. He won't go away. He's like one of these guests that just won't leave. Ever since you got him to record the Listener Minis intro for Parting of the Ways,
did his ego just grow?
He wants to stick around. He's like the ant that won't leave.
Did he grow a seventh testicle on his forehead?
Was it? I thought it was a mole. So ultimately, Parting of the Ways from start to finish is, in my opinion, absolutely superb.
Yeah, and in mine as well. I mean, we both gave it 5.0 at the time. I mean, say at the time, this was like, what, a week ago, 2 weeks ago that we reviewed it? But yeah, it's without a doubt the best Eccleston episode.
The only thing out of my top three that I would change...
Yeah.
Is I would probably downgrade Dalek to a 4.9 rather than a 5 if I was going back and redoing them now.
Oh, that's very, very clever. I hadn't even considered what I'd give them now.
So we both got that one as number 5. Now, the top 3 from Eccleston's era, according to the Doctor Who ratings guide. Now, this is a ratings guide done by fans.
Okay.
And it gives it, rather than which gives it a score out of 5, they give it a score out of 10.
Okay.
So this is an aggregate of round about 9,000 Doctor Who viewers.
Mm.
Okay.
Okay.
And they're slightly different from ours.
Oh, interesting.
So at number 4 in the entire Doctor Who pantheon.
Holy shit. Wait, all of it? Are we talking classic and new?
Yes, with a score of 8.37.
Okay.
Is The Empty Child.
Wow. Empty Child is the 4th best ever, according to people. Okay, interesting. I think we do have to bear in mind that most of the people who are filling this in, they haven't seen Classic. They're reviewing a new Who.
No, but you also... But bear in mind, number 3, the one above it...
Yeah. Oh, shit.
...is the Peter Davison regeneration episode, The Caves of Androzani.
Oh,
wow. The one that I said is generally considered to be the best Doctor Who episode of all time.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter because it's aggregated amongst the people that voted for those episodes.
Yeah.
So Androzani got an 8.45, Empty Child got an 8.37. You're really talking here about the best of the best of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And yes, Empty Child is 4th out of the entire Doctor Who pantheon.
Fantastic.
So that's number 1 in Eccleston. Number 2 in Eccleston is number 8 in the entire Doctor Who pantheon.
Okay.
Which weirdly is the second part of that episode. It's The Doctor Dances.
Really?
With an 8.3.
That's a little bit weird to me. Okay.
And third, which is 19th in the Doctor Who pantheon, is Dalek with a 7.99.
Okay. Well, that upsets me. Where is Parting of the Ways?
Parting of the Ways is actually only 4 stories below Dalek. It got a 7.9.
Okay.
So it's 23 in the Doctor Who pantheon.
Interesting. Okay. We're still, I mean, at least there's quite a lot of, like, in the Venn diagram of the two of us and the rest of the world, there's quite a lot of overlap, it seems, when it comes to these episodes.
2 out of 3.
Yeah. Yes. They're not necessarily in the same order, but, like, it's still pretty good. Okay. All right. What do you say we move on to the bottom 3 episodes?
Blech.
Blech. Okay.
Okay, so...
The 3rd worst
the third worst episode.
Okay, let's say it together. Let's say it together, okay?
I'm not sure we agree on it.
No, we might not agree with it. Let's just say it together anyway. Okay, three.
Hold on, I'm still trying. Oh, no! Don't make me do it without trying to figure out what it is.
Okay, have you picked one? Have you picked one? You've got to pick one. I don't want to stress you, dude, but we're recording. People are waiting. We're going out live, by the way, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, I've got one. Have you picked one? Yeah.
Okay, the third worst episode in all of Eccleston's run as the Doctor is 3, 2, 1, Aliens of London. Oh, wow. Really? That's the third worst one?
Yeah.
Okay. Explain yourself, sir.
And I know, because when we did this, I voted, I scored Boomtown significantly lower than you do. I hate Boomtown. I think it is, from start to finish, could have been so much better. There is a scene in it which is so good that it shows up the rest of the episode, which is Annette Badland and Chris Eccleston in a restaurant having threats and dinner together.
Yeah, dinner and bondage.
And sadly, the episode is completely ruined by, in a way, the exact opposite of the Deus Ex Machina in Parting of the Ways. It is utterly ruined by taking the entire agency of character development and morality out of the hands of the time travelers and putting it in the hands of the TARDIS.
Yeah.
For that, I have to say it is my third favourite.
Okay. All right.
Least favourite. Third least favourite. Definitely not my third favourite.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I went with Aliens of London because it is... It introduces the farting aliens. It is absolute nonsense. It is so unbelievable, so childish, so annoying, so many bad things. At the time, I'm looking at the list right now. I gave Aliens of London 2.2 at the time. You gave it 2.5. And Boomtown, by the way, I gave 2.9. I have no idea why I gave it 2.9. You gave it 1.5. Infinitely more appropriate, I think. It's got farting aliens. It's just dumb. Abysmal. Aliens of London seems to me like a children's episode gone wrong. It's made for children, but it contains so many things that are just completely inappropriate for children. And for that reason, I fucking hate it.
So number two of your worst episodes. Are we going to do this one at the same time again?
Okay. I have two at the same... I've got a tied second position for my number two. I know that's not allowed.
No, it's not allowed, so pick one.
I got to pick one. Okay.
Go on, pick one now. You're doing the same... I'm doing the same to you as you did to me a minute ago. Pick one now.
Okay, I've got it. 3, 2, 1. Boomtown.
World War III.
That was the second one. That was the shit. That was the tie.
Right, you know, from my side, World War III. It's the second part of Farting Alien to London, and it's far worse.
Okay.
It has one redeemable feature. One.
Okay.
And Harry Jones, MP for Slidell North.
Yeah, very true.
It has no other redeeming features. You know, you've just talked about Alien to London, and you've just, you know, said that it's childish and it's a children's episode gone wrong. And that is the best description of World War III as well. You know, the Savina meant to be monsters for children. Great. Doctor Who is a children's program. Absolutely no problem. And I think aiming stuff at children to get them on board is great. But what this does do is it makes the children not intelligent. It's preaching to children as if they were about 5 or 10 years younger than they actually are.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man.
It's for, you know, 4 to 5 year olds rather than the 10 to 12, which was always really the demographic story. Doctor Who in the old days. So ultimately, World War III is like Aliens London, but worse.
I agree. And I'm not trying to sort of defend myself or anything, but I feel like whether you add World War III or Aliens of London in this case, they are two parts of the exact same story. They deserve to be on that list in the bottom three, both of them.
I agree.
Okay.
So yours is Boomtown.
Mine was Boomtown. Yes, essentially for the same reasons that you listed before. The Deus Ex Machina at the end makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I think, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not sure about what we're talking about here, then you should go back and listen to our Boomtown review. Because, oh my, I'm still infuriated by that ending. The fucking blonde egg. I cannot believe that Eccleston didn't crack it open and make himself an omelette right then and there. And I am still. And I realize that maybe I'm slightly more pissed off about this than other people might be, but Jesus Christ, Mickey Rickey and his weird moral stance is so weird. His moral compass is so off. in this episode. But what bothers me is that he is presented as this morally sound character. And he is de facto brought in as some sort of martyr to then emotionally come out of the whole story as the hero. I mean, he comes there as a martyr. He's still pining for Rose. He's still all these blah, 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 blah. I'm just doing good things. I came all the way to Cardiff for you. Here's your passport. And then he leaves the episode. And we're meant to think, as in at the end, he leaves the episode. And we, as the audience, are meant to think, this guy, holy shit, he's got over Rose. He's matured so much. He's grown as a person. What a guy. Like, she doesn't realize what a catch he was. But in between, what the fuck, man? He was specifically saying that he had planned to cheat on his other girlfriend, like on his girlfriend. And it pisses me off that they didn't deliver that portrayal very, very well. Plus, anything with Mickey Ricky pisses me off. So the, yeah. It's got a farting alien that doesn't fart very much. That's a good thing, but also a bad thing. Blah, 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 blah. Boomtown. Shit. I give it 2.9 at the time. I would definitely downgrade that to about, probably about a 2.0. And the only thing that is bumping that up is the interlocution between the Doctor and Blonde Felfoch. That's it. All right. Number one. The worst of the Ecclestons. Are you ready for this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, three, two, one. The Long Game.
The Long Game.
Yes. Sweet Christmas. Yes. Okay, go for it.
Oh, Adam.
Adam. Yes, Adam. Okay, and the dumbest ending ever.
Should we move on to the next episode? Because, you know, all it needs is the word Adam.
I'm looking at the list, by the way. Long Game is the episode that, yes, that both of us gave the lowest score as we went through the serial or the series.
It's awful.
It is awful. And that's despite having a fantastic Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah, but when Peg cannot fix your episode, you know you're in trouble.
Yeah, you are. Exactly.
I can't stress how stupid The Long Game is. Sadly for Doctor Who, it is the start of a one really shit episode per season that we are going to get from now on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I already know what the next season's bad episode's going to be in that case.
Oh, yeah, I've told you about that one already.
I remember it. I remember it so well. I even remember thinking at the time how shit it was. That's the one with the, what's it called? The Absorber something. The Absorber Locks or Absorber Flocks.
The Absorber Loff.
Absorber Loff. Oh, what a shitful.
Well, bear in mind, have you ever seen the Highlander films?
Yes, obviously. All of them, obviously.
Okay. There is a Highlander film which everyone thinks exists, but really doesn't, like called Highlander 2.
It doesn't really exist.
It doesn't really exist. Love and Monsters doesn't really exist.
It's in that same group of mythical movies that don't exist, such as Highlander 2 and Die Hard 5.
That's correct.
Okay, I see.
So if you, I would happily swap Love and Monsters being a missing episode for 5 more seconds of any other missing episode. The entirety, all 42 minutes of Love and Monsters for 5 seconds of Celestial Toymaker.
Wow. Well, I hope you realize that a lot of people worked on Love and Monsters. I mean, it brought so much joy to people. It put people through, you know, uni. It put food on the table for countless families, JD, and you want to take that away from them for 5 seconds. Okay, fair enough. Okay, so...
Okay, so we've just given our bottom three. So let's go compare the Doctor Who ratings guide for this.
Yes, please, go for it.
So, their number three... And bear in mind, the Doctor Who pantheon is currently at 262 stories.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
The 199th worst story in Doctor Who is Eccleston's third worst, with a score of 581. It's The Long Game.
Really?
Yeah. That was 199.
Okay.
Just slightly below it, at 203rd out of, what did I say? 262 stories.
Something like
203 out of 262, with a score of 5.73.
Yeah.
Aliens of London.
Wow, okay.
And the 214th worst story in the Doctor Who pantheon, with a score of 5.58, World War III.
Wow. Well, you know what? Congratulations, JD. You got 3 out of 3, right?
No, I said Boomtown.
Oh, you did say Boomtown.
Between us, we got 3 out of 3.
Yes, that's true. Oh, fantastic. Well, you know what?
we were not that far off.
No, we really weren't. Okay, out of curiosity, what is the actual worst serial / episode of Doctor Who ever made? Is it like that lost episode directed by Uwe Boll?
No, the worst episode, and actually the bottom two are two I completely agree with. 261 out of 262 with a score of 3.8 is the first episode from Sylvester McCoy's era, which is called Time and the Rani.
Okay.
It is generally considered bad.
Well, clearly.
And I consider it to actually be the worst episode of all time.
Okay. What is the worst one according to the guide?
It's called The Twin Dilemma, which was the first episode from Colin Baker's era.
Oh.
So our story is a
tough start.
3.78. Very, very tough start.
Still, I do have to say, that's not so bad a mark for something that is at the very, very bottom.
Yeah.
3.3 out of 10. Is that what you said? 3.3?
3.3.
Yeah, so that's like... it's
3.73. Sorry.
3.73. That's... holy shit. Divide that by 2 and you would get the equivalent score that we would give that. And, well, I at least surpassed that. I gave The Long Game 1.2.
I know that we're doing
1.4 Long Game.
Yeah? We're doing our Eccleston retrospective.
Yeah. Sorry.
So we're not talking about...
all of
the story.
Yeah.
So...
very true. Fine. Let's move on to the next category,
which is
favorite quotes. Not necessarily the best quotes or whatnot, but really good quotes that stood out. What do you say? Does anything spring to mind? And
yes.
Bear in mind, not necessarily quotes of Eccleston's, as in not just some of his lines, but lines uttered in Eccleston stories. Okay, give us an example, dude.
In Rose, he does a very, very good monologue.
Yeah.
About the turn of the universe and how he could feel
absolutely.
It.
That's further down on my list, spoiler alert, under best monologue.
I didn't realize we were doing best monologue. I forgot about that. You have that. You have, you know, his real rage and fire against the Dalek in Dalek. And also from Dalek, weirdly enough, I like the Dalek's monologue.
You would make a good Dalek.
That's one of the lines that I've picked out. You would make a good Dalek. I think that's such an incredibly evocative line. I mean, these creatures who are the absolute worst thing imaginable in the universe, in all of time, and all of a sudden he has the potential to be one of them. I think that's just so telling of the nature of that episode. It's a fantastic line.
I like everything ever spoken by the Dalek Emperor.
you don't say.
I think that, you know, he manages to actually not have a bad line in Parting of the Ways.
I think maybe we have different themes in our favorite lines, by the way.
I've gone for the emotional big speeches. What have you gone for?
Yeah, there is a little bit of overlap. I mean, I've got You Would Make a Good Dalek, and I've got that, I've made a ref to that monologue of his in Rose. That entire monologue is fantastic. It's just incredibly well written, and it's such a good introduction to the character. It gives him a depth that I didn't, at the time anyway, remember ever associating with Doctor Who. But, okay, in my defense, I was much younger when I had seen Doctor Who before. I also have, however...
Don't drop the banana!
Why not?
Good source of potassium!
Which is such a fun line, I think. When he switched around Jack's gun for a banana. It's such a good line. It's so just uplifting. And that is in The Empty Child, right? Or is it Dr. Dancers already? No, it's Empty Child. What else do I have on my list? I have...
I've got one from Rose.
Oh, go for it.
Which is...
You just handed me a piece of paper telling me you're single and you work out.
Tricky thing, psychic paper.
And then Jack's retort, which says, well, you have a boyfriend called Mickey Smith, but you consider yourself footloose and fancy free.
Yeah.
Actually, the word you use is available. And another one, very.
Okay, how about this one?
She's climbing out the window, isn't she?
Yes, she is.
Yep.
Yep.
from Boomtown.
From Boomtown. Such a good one. Okay. Also from Boomtown.
Every now and then a little victim's spared because she smiled, because he's got freckles, because they begged. And that's how you live with yourself. That's how you slaughter millions.
Which, oddly enough, is also from Boomtown and probably the single best scene in it.
Yeah. Oh, and it's such a fantastically good line. All right.
Am I naked in front of millions of viewers?
Absolutely.
Ladies,
your viewing figures just went up.
Very true.
That's a good one. Okie dokie.
Can we have best mannerism rather than best quote?
Yeah, sure, go for it. Best
practically
mannerism.
Practically every mannerism that Captain Jack does in Bad Wolf.
Wait, in Bad Wolf?
Brandishing both of his sort of two huge guns and goes,
"You're not allowed in there. Archive 6 is out of bounds."
Do I look like an out of bounds sort of guy?
His anything where he was with Trini and Susanna, and then of course everything he actually ever does in Parting of the Ways from start to finish.
Okay, yeah.
And my final one for
go
my
for
quotes.
It. Go for it. Go for it.
Which is
Rose.
Yes, Doctor.
I'm coming to get you.
Also from Bad Wolf.
Yeah. Which you mentioned at the time was a quote from Big Brother.
Yes.
As in, that's like the tagline from Big Brother or something.
Yeah, but Christopher Eccleston does it so well.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very well. Okay, dude.
What's our next section?
Best moments.
Oh, that one's quite hard, actually.
Yeah. You don't have to rank them. Well, give me some of your favourite Doctor Who moments from Eccleston season.
I would say the single best moment from an Eccleston serial is probably the Deus Ex Machina at the end of Parting of the Ways.
Okay, all right.
I adore it. I think Rose as Bad Wolf is a very different moment in Doctor Who. In fact, not even just Rose as Bad Wolf, the entire sort of few seconds, even as you're intercutting between Eccleston and about to get exterminated by the Daleks, the TARDIS in the time vortex with Rose looking into it, and then literally Rose coming out and just taking it to the Dalek Emperor and going, "Had enough of you now."
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah, fantastic moment. How about in The Empty Child? Or possibly the Doctor dances? No, it is the Empty Child, I think. Where they're in the actual kids' playroom in the hospital and they've been listening to this recording, this, according to you, anachronistic Nazi tape recorder or reel-to-reel recorder of the kid saying, "Are you my mummy? Are you my mummy?" And then all of a sudden they realize, holy shit, they ran out of tape ages ago, but they can still hear the kid's voice. Amazing. Such tension, right? Pretty good,
correct.
Robert.
From a moment, and, you know, it's... Obviously, my worst episode, or one of my worst episodes, is Annette Badland and Eccleston having this dinner and bondage in Boomtown.
Yeah.
Because in an episode which has so much shit in it, you have a moment which could actually be in pretty much any other episode and would be considered a real highlight.
Yeah, very true.
You know, you get the Dalek and the Doctor's entire scene in Dalek. Eccleston is managing to act to a small metal machine with more emotion than probably anyone else in that episode puts up. You know, from a favourite moment point of view, I have to say the moment he leaves Adam on Earth, only because that means he's no longer there.
Really? That's your favourite moment?
From that episode, yeah. you have,
that might be my favourite moment of that episode because it meant that the episode ended, but
indeed.
It's so dumb.
You have his walking through the large fans in The End of the World.
Yeah, okay.
Which is the first sort of Time Lordy thing which sort of occurred in New Who.
Yeah, true.
To be honest, a lot of the scenes between Rose and her dad in Father's Day, because they're much more personal, I think.
That's a very good point. I hadn't even considered Father's Day.
Yeah, because Father, you know, it's much more personable. It's much smaller in scope, but it doesn't mean in any way it's nowhere near as good. And and some of those scenes are really powerful, and you have really good chemistry between the two of them. You really do.
Mm. Yeah,
Actually,
very true.
I really wish I'd, you know, Father's Day is up there with some of my favourite episodes.
Yeah, it is actually in my case as well. Well, given that you just mentioned Father's Day, I feel bad for saying this. Just one tiny little extra favourite moment here. Quite a contrast, though. I apologise for this. But the sonic-off between the Doctor and Captain Jack. The general sonic-off, especially in Doctor Dance. In The Empty Child.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I almost wish that I hadn't said that after your Father's Day comment. Okay. Worst moment.
Rose, for no apparent reason, bringing Adam on board of the TARDIS at the end of the Long Game.
Oh, that's a good one. Why is that not on my list? That is a very good one.
Sorry, not at the end of Long Game, at the end of Dalek.
Dalek, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that means he's in the Long Game.
Exactly. And on the show, and an official companion, and everything. Oh, fuck that guy.
Okay, so that was my one of my one, two. What's your first one?
Okay, champagne on a spaceship during the Blitz. next to a lit up Big Ben whilst there are actual Nazi planes flying around trying to look for something to bomb.
I completely disagree, because I think that I can bypass that entire problem by it being actually really, really atmospheric. But
Yes, that's true. I'm pretty sure. You know what? Here's what I think we should do. I think we should call a timeout. You should rewind our review of that episode and listen to your past self comment on that. Because I'm pretty sure we were both in complete freaking agreement, JD, that it was the dumbest thing ever.
I'm not disagreeing that the entire thing was dumb. I'm saying it wasn't the worst thing that we've seen in this season.
It was cheesy and romantic and very atmospheric, and I completely agree with that, but it is so dumb, and I couldn't stop thinking about how dumb it was. But yeah, you're right, bringing Adam on board is a far worse moment than that. Yeah. Okay, what's your second one?
My number one worst moment in Eccleston Who.
Yeah.
Buffalo. One word.
I have a joint first one. Actually, I haven't ranked these in any way, but I've got two next to each other. And they are group farting in Aliens of London.
Oh,
God, why? Why are you collectively farting and smiling and everything? And Ricky hacking unit.
Yes, Buffalo.
Yeah, and you know what? Basically. If you had asked me now, I would have misremembered it again. I would have gone Bulldog. But yes, Buffalo. So dumb. So incredibly dumb.
I have no words really for that.
Okay. Okay, let's move on to something better. Best foe. Give me two. Give me the two best foes in Eccleston Who.
Ooh. Okay, in reverse order.
Okay.
And this is actually quite hard because the number two slot could be considered by quite a lot of them. I tend to say that... That's actually really hard. I'll say the nanogenes in The Empty Child and Dr. Dancers. So ultimately they are the foe, not the kid in a way.
Yeah, no, you're totally right.
So I'd say that was my number two. And my number one...
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Of course it is.
It's the Dalek in Dalek, isn't it?
No.
What? Wait, what?
It's me.
Oh.
God, are you still here? My favourite foe is the Emperor Dalek from Parting of the Ways.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not even going to ask you why, because I know why, and you've already phrased it beautifully in two episodes of Who Back When, in fact, including this one. We're pretty much synchronised in this one. My number two is, you're right, they are the nanogenes. I put them down as the gas mask zombies, but you're right, they are actually the nanogenes, and it is, I mean, they're a fantastic foe. And my number one, I've actually written Dalek in Dalek on my list. Can I change my mind and go with the Emperor? Because he's Dalek with a bit more sass. He's Dalek with more purpose and even less sanity.
Well, he is standing here, so, you know,
yeah, but you've got
right
headphones on, so I'm not worried. I'm not on speaker, am I?
Hold on. Punky wants to talk to you. No, he's too busy with the script for Terminator 5. Sorry.
Okay, great. You know Matt Smith's going to be in that, right?
He will be exterminated.
Oh, yeah, he can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, great. Sorry. Sorry, Dalek Emperor. Yeah, Dalek Emperor can be happy because I'm changing my mind. Dalek Emperor number one for the win. Okay, worst foe. Give me two.
Okay. This is equally difficult.
Yeah.
Okay. So the first one I'm going to say, it's very different from my rating of the episode. My worst foe, I would say, is the Gelf from The Unquiet Dead, mainly because they are utterly useless. And I think The Unquiet Dead is a great episode. The foe, not so much so. The foe is nowhere near as good as the episode is.
Yeah.
Or worst foe, well, there is zero doubt that it is the family Slovene. Because... there is just, well, A, you can't separate them. And you know, if you were to ask me to name the four worst foes, well, I'd name all four Slovene.
Okay. Can you name them? Pop quiz, hotshot.
Glenn, Felfotch, Pasmina Day.
Yes, Felfotch, how dare
that's
you?
That's what I said. Glenn, Felfotch, Pasmina Day, Slovene.
Okay, fine, sorry.
Anyway, But it would be all four of them.
Yeah. Okay. You have no idea how freaking synced up we are.
Your turn.
Okay. I've written it. The worst one is the Slitheen family in Aliens of London and World War III, not in Boomtown. And the second one I've just written, who's the second worst then? Possibly Gelf or Van Staten.
You see, I don't think Van Staten was really the bad guy from the episode.
Yeah, I know, but there's that element in the episode Dalek where we start to sympathise with the Dalek. The second we do that, Van Staten's greediness outweighs the still remaining evil in the Dalek towards the end. I would consider him sort of a secondary foe in that episode. He tortures the Doctor, for God's sake.
I'd say that the Gelf are ridiculous and he's pointless.
Yeah, no, you're right. They are definitely more appropriate in the worst foe category than Van Staten. Okie dokie, dude, next category, top three best guest stars. Let's do these together. Let's do these together. Number three.
Oh, hold on, I need to make my list.
Okay.
Do you count people like Camille Cajori as guest stars?
Yes, I do. Yes, I would.
So this is three best guest stars.
I just realised I didn't think of Camille Cajori when I put together my list. Okay.
Oh, sorry. I asked the question, you know.
No, you're very right. Oh, shit. Okay. But you are right. I would probably consider her a guest star. I didn't when I put together this top three, but yeah, you're right. Okay, I'm going to change my mind now. I'm going to switch it around. I'm going to add Camille Cajori at some point in this list.
In this list, yeah.
Oh, but now, whom do I bump down?
Who do you bump down? Yeah, it is a difficult one. And I think actually we'll probably have fairly different ones on this one.
Yeah, you're right. I will have my top three, but then give honorable mention to a fourth one.
I'll do an honorable mention as well, and we do that one first.
Okay, go for it. Who's your honorable mention?
My honorable mention will be Noel Clarke.
Oh,
who is
wow.
not going to be on your list.
No, he is not on my list. Definitely not.
Because frankly, I have nowhere near the hatred for him that you do. And frankly, with the exception of fake Mickey in Rose and maybe the last 5 minutes of Rose. Mickey in Rose, with the exception of that, I actually think Noel Clarke just actually gets better and better all season.
And he does get better and better, but it's only at the very end where he better and better has got him to a level where he's sort of bearable, in my opinion. Well, he's going to get even better, though.
Yeah, but we're not talking about Mickey Smith. You said guest star, so I'm Noel Clarke, not Mickey Smith.
Oh, I see. Sorry. No, I'm talking about... Sorry about that. Noel, if you're listening, don't take this personally. I'm talking about your character.
You said
a character on the show, not your character as in your backbone. Okay.
You said best guest star, so...
Yeah.
Not best guest character.
You're very right. You're very right. Okay. My honourable mention is going to go to Simon Callow for his portrayal of Charles Dickens in The Unquiet Dead. He did a great job. As we discussed in our review of The Unquiet Dead, he's an actor with an incredible, incredible body of knowledge when it comes to Charles Dickens and an incredible just breadth of experience in portraying him already. So very obviously he brought talents and charisma and gravitas to the role. For that same reason, he was my previous number three because it's kind of unfair. It's like pitting Simon Callow against, I don't know, Noel Clarke for that reason. Yeah, I'm sorry. Honorable mention. Simon Callow, amazing. Well done. Number three. Let's do this together now, dude.
Okay.
Okay. 3, 2, 1, go for it. Eve Miles.
Camille Cajori.
Okay, Camille Cajori, very good. She's amazing. Is there any particular episode that you think that she sort of stands out in?
Parting of the Ways.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
And Father's Day. The immortal Camille Cajori, who looks the same no matter what age she is.
Yeah, I think I'd probably pick my favourite Camille Cajori in Father's Day. And you're right, yeah, when she's... was she meant to be, like, 17 or 18?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Camille.
I'm sorry that... sorry, Camille, but B, sorry, makeup artist that thought Camille was 19.
Yeah, no. No, she is lovely and she is so wonderful and such a charming actor or actress. Absolutely. Good choice. Okay. All right. Eve Miles, in my case, Unquiet Dead. I just think she pulled it off and she was emotionally convincing. And she brought a certain sort of anxiety to that role. But anxiety that came with knowledge. That there's that one scene. Do you remember in obviously you remember. Why am I asking you that? You remember all of Doctor Who. But you know that scene in The Unquiet Dead when she's telling Rose, no, you think I'm an idiot. And Rose goes, no, 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 I don't. Because she wants to be polite. And she goes, no, 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 I know that you do. Because she has read her mind. She knows that Rose looks down on her. And that she brings that sort of level of anxiety, but built on a foundation of just knowledge, of awareness. That is, I don't think we encountered that in any other character on Doctor Who.
And this is where a lot of my problems is, you know, and I've not mentioned so far Eve Miles or Simon Keller, the depth of guest stars which we have to pick from this category.
Oh, it's tough to pick a top list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, so far, I think with only possibly a couple of exceptions, they've actually picked really, really good actors they've picked really good actors throughout, but they've picked, for some reason, they haven't been able to squeeze the right performance out of these actors on a couple of occasions. Yeah. Number two. Three, two, one. Camille Cajori.
Sean Dingwall.
Wait, who's Sean Dingwall?
Pete Tyler.
Oh, really? Oh, you're right, actually. He's very good.
You know, we're back to
Father. Wait, he's number two for you?
Yeah.
He's higher up than Camille Cajori for you?
Yes, because I think that he did an amazingly good job in Father's Day.
Okay. No, he did. I agree with that.
You know, Camille Cajori has some very good moments in Parting of the Ways, some very good moments in Father's Day, and a couple of good moments in Rose. But Sean Dingwall is, from start to finish, consistently good in Father's Day. He plays the part of this sort of not quite deadbeat dad, but a dad with high ideals and high, you know, plans that never come to fruition, who loves his daughter.
Yeah.
Is not a perfect person. And he, you know, he's not the father that Rose expected. But in a way, he's the father that actually Rose really needed.
Holy shit, that's like the best paraphrase of the end of The Dark Knight I have ever heard.
okay.
What? Have you seen The Dark Knight?
I have seen it. I just can't remember any lines from it.
So it was another obvious film I'd spoiled for you.
No. and you have, you know, the fact that what he did for Rose is what causes Jackie to go and get a huge truck at the end of Parting of the Ways to allow Rose to save the Doctor.
Mm.
So ultimately, you know, even past Father's Day, you know, Pete lived. But Sean Dingwall plays him, I would say, almost pitch perfect.
Yeah, he does. He does. I do have to say, though, not to be nitpicky, but aren't some of these arguments that you've just listed, aren't they arguments in favour of the character as opposed to the actor?
Some of those are for the character. But, you know, when you say that someone plays a character pitch perfectly.
Yeah.
I can't really say much about it. You know, the character is important. The actor that plays him is even more so, because if you'd have got a really bad actor to play him, then, you know,
it would not have been the same.
The character wouldn't have worked, yeah.
Yeah, in fact, they may have sort of rewritten the ending in some way. At least the motivation behind Jackie's coming to the rescue. All right, okay, we've got number one left.
No, what about you for Camille Cajori?
Oh, right. Of course.
You haven't waxed lyrical about Camille.
Camille is so charming. She is the perfect mother for Rose. She is so good. I mean, she is, the way that Camille Cajori portrays Jackie Tyler is, I would not have wanted it to be any other way. She brings that perfect level of wisdom and chaviness to the role. She's hilarious, angry, ridiculous, furious, funny, sad. She's just constantly conflicted in some way, and she plays the part in such a way, as in Camille plays the part in such a way, that always kind of shows the character to have this hidden second life, like there's something else going on in the background. Like in The Parting of the Ways, where she goes, yeah, Rodrigo owes me a favor. Like, never you mind. Why? Because, like, you have this entire life off screen, and very often you don't believe this in an actor's portrayal. Most often, all of that is based on like what you get in dialogue or what you get in references, in props or whatever, or just situational context. But in her case, she's one of these few actors who. I should phrase that differently, because I'm not saying that she's like in the pantheon of actors, Camille Cajori. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she is the perfect actor for this role, and very seldom do you get someone who is so perfect for the role that there's a level of intuition added to it as opposed to just talent. Camille does that. Love her to bits in that.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fair, and I tend to agree totally.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Number one, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Simon Pegg.
Penelope Wilton.
Oh, God damn it. Oh, you're right. Of course you're right. Oh, I hate myself now. Oh, go ahead. Oh, you've got the better answer. Okay, go for it.
Penelope Wilton, Harriet Jones, MP for Flydale North. She manages to elevate an episode which is so crap.
Yeah.
To actually being watchable in Aliens of London.
Yeah.
Now, that is a skill.
Oh, God damn it, you are so right.
We said in our World War III review that she is the only reason that it got a 1.5.
Yeah.
It's the only reason it got above a 0.5, because Penelope Wilton was in it. Which Simon Pegg, which is your... And he, I was thinking about putting more or less, but Simon Pegg could not save the long game, even if he tried. And we know Simon Pegg is a great, great actor.
Yeah.
But he couldn't save the long game. Penelope Wilton manages to, in a two-parter, act against a group of aliens who are so dumb that they are just almost forgotten in the Doctor Who pantheon of aliens now.
Yeah, you know, and spoiler alert for sort of the post-Eccleston era when she turns up in Tennant. In fact, in the very next episode, Christmas Invasion, she's portraying the same character but with a different kind of edge to her.
She's grown. And in The Stolen Earth, when, you know, she appears again, she's, again, very important to the plot, and she is good in all of them. You know, it's not the character so much as it is definitely in this one, the actress.
Yeah.
And, you know, had she have been in different episodes, would we have said the same? Yeah, probably. Had she have been in something like Boomtown, it probably would have improved Boomtown.
Yeah.
I'm going with Penelope Wilton for my number one guest.
Yeah, you know what? It's the better answer. It's definitely the better answer. I put Simon Pegg on this list, and I love Simon Pegg. I think he's a fantastic actor, and he's so charming, and he's got so much charisma on screen. I would happily watch almost anything with Simon Pegg for hours on end. I think he's a very charming person to watch on screen. And similarly, he did actually lift up The Long Game out of the gutter. But you are right, he didn't lift The Long Game as much, as intensely and as convincingly as she did for all of her episodes. You could argue that his character isn't as fleshed out as hers, but his character to a certain degree is sort of, it's a Simon Pegg character. But yeah, you're right. I will still say, Simon Pegg, holy crap, I enjoyed the shit out of him in The Long Game.
Oh yeah, and you know, the ones of yours, because we managed to do three different ones out of our four. Eve Miles, Simon Pegg, and Simon Callow.
Mm.
I think are amazingly good guest stars. And you know, you've got to add Richard Wilson, who played Dr. Constantine.
Yes, of course.
You know, and Charles and Dr. Dancers. And the Marquis de Carabas.
He was good.
You know,
wasn't as good in that role as he has been
The Marquis de Carabas.
Like I've seen him in plenty of things where I've thought, holy shit, he is a quality actor. As whatever his character was, Roderick, was it?
Roderick.
Yeah, Roderick. Didn't think he was... Yeah, but, like, yeah, whatever.
You know, ultimately, I think what we can both agree on is that in Eccleston's 13 episodes, we could probably go to 13 guest stars that we thought were good, if we tried.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even need to try that hard.
Yeah. That being said, worst guest stars.
How many do I have to pick?
Okay, give me one. In fact, let's say them together.
Bruno Langley. It's irrelevant. Bruno Langley.
Is that who plays Adam?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I've put down. I've written Adam. You know, what was the thing that he was famous for? He was on some TV show.
Was it Coronation Street?
Oh, that's what it was, yeah. Ugh, God damn it. I've never watched Coronation Street, but I certainly never will.
I'm sorry, but he's managed to not only be worst guest star, but he also manages to hit worst companion. And he has to go up against the likes of Dodo. Because he travelled in the TARDIS and was over more than one episode, he's a companion.
Wait, is that are they the criteria? You have to be travelling in the TARDIS for more than one episode?
Yeah.
Oh, really? So if you travel in the TARDIS for one episode, that doesn't count?
No.
Does that mean that the little girl in Kill the Moon is not a companion?
No.
Wait, no, as in no, she's not a companion, or no, that doesn't mean that?
No, she's not a companion.
Oh, thank God. Okay, good. All right. Still, I kind of liked her. Anyway, okie dokie. Yeah, I'm glad we agreed on something here. Super duper quickly, what's your favourite monologue of Eccleston's?
The one about the turning of the universe from Rose.
Yeah, same here. Well, actually, I think it's tied between that one and his Princess Leia speech in Parting of the Ways. Holy crap.
Actually, no, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to agree with you that it's both of them. And in fact, I think we would do our members a good service to have a back-to-back Princess Leia and turning of the universe speech from, incidentally, his very first and his very last episode. We will start from the beginning because that's a very good place to start, as Mary Poppins. So.
Well, we are nothing if not traditional here at Who Back When. Okay.
From Rose, the turning of the universe. Universe bite.
Universe bite.
The ground beneath our feet is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour, and the entire planet is hurtling around the sun at 67,000 miles an hour, and I can feel it. We're falling through space, you and me.
That's absolutely beautiful.
From his last episode.
Yeah.
Emergency Protocol 1.
AKA the Princess Leia speech.
Bagel bite.
Bagel bite.
Let the TARDIS die. Just let this old box gather dust. No one can open it, no one will even notice it. Let it become a strange little thing standing on a street corner. And over the years, the world will move on and the box will be buried. And if you want to remember me, then you can do one thing. That's all. One thing. Have a good life.
Again, so beautiful, so emotional, so evocative. Oh, he is a spectacular actor. Okie dokie. Quick fire round, dude Meister.
Okay.
First thing that pops into your brain, okay?
Okay.
Sexiest alien.
Jabe from End of the World.
Is that the Forest of Cheem chick?
Yes.
Exactly what I've put in. Well, I've said the chick from the Forest of Cheem. Okay, nice one.
Hold on. Why is a gay guy coming up with the sexiest alien being a tree from End of the World? That's wrong. I should be picking Adam or something. Captain Jack! Is he an alien? Can I pick him?
Is he an alien? No, he's not an alien. Is he an alien?
Yes, he is. We find out he's definitely an alien. He's not from Earth.
When do we find that out?
In Torchwood.
Okay, I had forgotten about that.
But either way, I picked Jabe in this quick fire round for no apparent reason. But yes, she is.
Yeah. No, yeah, she is very hot. Okie dokie. Least boneable alien.
Adam.
Oh, wow. Really?
He's not an alien, but it's Adam.
Well, he's an alien to someone.
my brain just wants to say Adam, but I'm actually going to say Margaret Slavine.
Okay, yeah, I've put the Rexicoricos.
Yeah.
Least boneable human.
Adam.
Okay. Wow, interesting. I've put, perhaps just for logistical reasons, the very last human. What's her name? The flat chick.
Cassandra.
Yeah, Cassandra. Okay, Doc's dumbest moment.
Bringing Adam on board the TARDIS.
Oh, wow. I've put leaving Adam with a plug hole in his head. Funniest moment.
That one's in fact very... actually, the funniest moment is probably Dinner and Bondage.
Oh, that's a good one.
Mainly due to the fact that, again, you have two amazing actors doing it. And it doesn't have to be funny, but it is, and they managed to make it.
Yeah.
If you, on the other hand, mean funny as in really not good funny...
Yeah, how about that? That's more in line with what I've written down.
Mickey cork in the forehead as Norton from Rose.
Oh, God, that's so bad. Is that funny? Oh, that pisses me off so much. That's so dumb.
It's funny, not in a good way.
Oh, you're right. It's really not in a good way. Thank you, JD. I had somehow managed to repress that memory. I've written, it should have been an outtake. It's a blooper that they kept in. It's when the Undertaker in The Unquiet Dead straight up Han Solo's Rose's boob. As he's putting her in, in the back of his cart or whatever it is. That's the end of my list.
Now, you started off really disliking Eccleston.
Yeah.
And over the past, I was going to say 13 weeks, but obviously it's not been 13 weeks. It's been significantly more that we've been doing this.
Yeah.
You've had to sort of watch and listen for, you know, a variety of Doctor Who things.
Oh, no. You're going to quiz me in some way, aren't you? What do you want me to pronounce?
As if I would quiz you on things. So anyway, Doctor Who quiz time.
Okay, hit me.
Right, I'll give you 10 questions.
Oh, 10 questions? Are you serious? I haven't prepared any questions for you. I'm sorry, man.
Well, yeah, but I'd probably get them right.
Oh, wow. Who's freaking cocky today?
It's been a long day.
Yeah, you deserve it. Treat yourself a little bit. Okay. Okay, quiz me. I'm ready. I was born ready. Famous last words.
That's true. Okay, so what was the name of the character played by Simon Pegg in The Long Game?
The Editor.
Correct.
Okay. Oof. All right. So far, so good.
Yeah, that's first.
Thanks.
Who does Zoe Wanamaker provide the voice for?
I'm struggling to think of who Zoe Wanamaker is. Hang on. Do not say anything. Cassandra.
Correct.
Oh, sweet. Okay, cool. Full disclosure, the only female character who's not actually portrayed by a human being on screen that I could think of.
So let's see if you can remember back to something I said, I think, during the Father's Day review.
Oh, no. Okay.
True or false? The BBC owns the copyrights on the police box design.
True.
Correct. Okay. even though the Metropolitan Police brought a lawsuit against them, it's now known more for Doctor Who than it is for...
For the actual police.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
How fast does the planet Earth hurtle around the sun in the Ninth Doctor's monologue from Rose?
What? Are you serious? What?
Did you not listen to our soundbite a minute ago?
A freaking physics question? A freaking astronomy question? Hang on, wait.
You've got everyone right so far, so...
Okay, in my head, I am singing the Monty Python Galaxy song. Just remember that you're sitting on a planet that's... revolving, moving at 900 miles an hour. Oh, crap. Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know.
67,000.
Oh, dagnabbit. Okay.
So when Rose goes to meet Clive in the episode Rose,
yeah,
she finds that the Doctor was present at 3 moments in history.
Okay.
Which the sinking of the Titanic.
Yes. Oh, no. You're going to blame the easiest ones. Okay. And?
The assassination of John F. Kennedy.
God damn you. Okay.
And what was the third?
I want to say it was a volcanic eruption. No, it was shortly before a volcanic eruption somewhere. Right? Wait.
I'll give you that one. It was the eruption of Krakatoa.
Krakatoa. That's what I would never have remembered the name of it.
I'll give you that one. You're a 4 out of 5. You're not doing too bad. You're halfway there.
I feel like I kind of got a pity point there a little bit. But okay, yeah, all right. Time out. You know, by the way, that when we do the next Doctor retrospective, I'm going to quiz the shit out of you.
Which of these is the odd one out?
Oh, God. Okay.
Soft Cell's Tainted Love, Britney Spears' Toxic, and Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Okay, I'm wondering now if the one that's the odd one out is the only one that's appeared in Doctor Who, or if the odd one out is the only one that hasn't appeared on Doctor Who. Britney Spears' Toxic certainly has in End of the World, N002. I kind of feel like Tainted Love has been on Doctor Who as well, so I'm going to say Never Gonna Give You Up.
You've got the right answer, but completely the wrong reason.
Oh, shit. Okay.
You did get the right answer. Both Soft Cell's Tainted Love and Britney Spears' Toxic appeared in The End of the World.
Okay. Oh, there you go.
And Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up was the what odd one out, because that appeared in Father's Day instead.
Oh, nice one. Well done. Okay. I did not remember that.
Okay. Who was the editor's boss in The Long Game?
Oh, crap. Okay, wait. Oh, it's one of those weird ones. It starts with the. It's the... Hang on, give me a second. The something of something. The Great Jagrafess of... Oh, I can't remember whatever the end was. The Great Jagrafess of... Oh, I'm not going to remember it. Okay.
the Mighty Geographers of the Holy Hadrogesic Maxaradenfo.
Oh, yeah, I would not have remembered that.
5 out of 7, only 3 more questions. You can't wait for my Hartnell questions, can you?
Hope you're enjoying this, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, yeah, go for it. Yeah, I cannot wait to quiz you on Hartnell.
That should be hilarious. What was strange about Captain Jack's spaceship the first time he met Rose?
What was strange about Captain Jack's spaceship? Do you mean that it was invisible?
Yes.
Ah, okay, good. Ooh, yeah, all right, I'm pumped again. Okay.
Finish this quote.
Oh, Jesus. I'm cramp at quotes.
Do you want to come with me? Because if you do, then I should warn you, you're going to see all sorts of things. Ghosts from the past, aliens from the future. The day the Earth died in a ball of fire. It won't be quiet, it won't be safe, and it won't be calm. But I tell you what, it will be.
Oh, wow. I feel like it's going to be one of two words. The two words at the top of my noggin right now are either fun or fantastic. I'm going to say, or possibly an adventure. It's going to be, I'm going to say fun.
The trip of a lifetime.
Oh, God damn it. So much more profound than what I thought. Okay, yeah.
And your final question. I've just realized I did give you the answer to this earlier.
Oh, damn. Really? Okay.
What is the name of the guy who runs the conspiracy theory website in Rose?
Oh, it's Clive.
Yes.
Yeah. Clive and his his weird conspiracy prostitute bang sheds. Clive, I wonder, Clive, if you hadn't been blasted in the face by an auton, would you ever have learned how to use a bicycle? Oh, poor Clive.
7 out of 10.
Oh, well, you know what? It could have been worse. Thank you for that. That was a nice surprise. When we get to Hartnell's retrospective bonus episode, you will not know what would hit you.
You're going to ask me all questions from the gunfighters because I can't remember.
No, that was awesome. That was a really, really good idea. Okay. Do you have any sort of parting words about Eccleston that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I have 2.
Okay.
I think. You know, he's the second really shortest Doctor that we have. We don't really get to know him, but what we do have does contain 2 absolutely stellar episodes in Parting of the Ways and Dalek. And, you know, he's significantly better on a rewatch than most people remember. Hmm. So if you haven't watched it, go and watch Dalek, and then, you know, bear in mind that you really need to watch Parting of the Ways, so you have to therefore watch Bad Wolf. But, you know, never mind. But watch Dalek, ultimately. And my final parting word on Eccleston is, in his own words indeed, he was fantastic.
Yeah. I completely agree with you. And I've said this on so many occasions during our, well, New Who reviews so far. And people who have listened to all of these reviews will already be sick and tired of hearing me say this. But when I saw Eccleston as the Doctor in the first place, I've told you're probably sick and tired of hearing this as well. But I didn't like him. I did not approve of him. And I've completely changed my mind. And I will happily, even now, I will happily go back and rewatch all of Eccleston again. And I will. I know that I will. He's such a good actor. And he had some really, really good stories. He had some really shit stories as well. Let's not forget that. But even in those, he was great. I don't think we had a single episode where the Doctor was not interesting. We had maybe an episode or two where he was kind of a little bit more absent than otherwise. But I don't think he was ever not interesting. Like, his screen time is always worth watching.
No, I'd agree. If we look at what we've considered ultimately his worst episode, which is Long Game, we compare to, you know, we've done, or you've done, some classic Who, you've done, you know, New Who and an Audio Who. Out of all of them, his worst episode is not as bad as some of the other ones that have been recorded. Because, yeah. You know, for Paul McGann, we did Dead London, I think, or Zygon of Elturth, which we both consider to be universally abysmal, and both of those are worse than the Long Game.
Yeah. Very much so.
While we're not bringing up Edge of Destruction right now, because this is Eccleston, and I will leave that one until Hartnell. Yeah. I really will leave Edge of Destruction until Hartnell. but you have one we can agree on, which is both Web Planet and Toymaker.
Yeah.
Which are far worse than the Long Game ever was. In when we get to Tenant, we'll have Love and Monsters, which far worse than the Long Game is in the Long Game's nightmares.
Yeah. I was about to ask you, how do you feel about Galaxy 4?
It's not great.
That's it. It's not great.
It's not great. Yeah. You know, I have real issues with Web Planet, and I have real issues with Celestial Toymaker.
Web Planet is terrible. I'm looking at the list here, by the way. I gave Web Planet and the Celestial Toymaker. They've both received the lowest so far, joint lowest, it turns out, even though Celestial Toymaker clearly is worse. And they are both 0.2 on my list.
You know, that is, what, 5.2 better than I will ever give Love and Monsters with a with a minus 5. You know, your rating system was only meant to be 0 to 5. Well, trust me, Love and Monsters manages, right? The Love and Monsters has a paving slab which gives oral sex. So trust me, there is a level which you have, and this is the only episode which
I'd love to have one of those
that
around. That'd be great. You lean it against the wall. What? Whatever.
You just go and watch Love and Monsters. Go and watch it now.
I've watched it.
Penance.
I know. No.
As penance.
For what? What have I ever done to you, man?
Not liking Christopher Eccleston at the start.
Yeah, at the start, but I've come around.
This.
I've changed my mind. Dude, seriously. Eccleston, if you're listening to this, and God, I hope that you are amazing. Thank you so much for a great, a phenomenal, a fantastic series of Doctor Who. JD, thank you so much for joining me on this bonus Eccleston retrospective.
And we have so many more Tenants to come in future.
I know. Very soon, in fact, we're going to be dropping the first Tenant review.
I cannot wait to get to Catherine Tate.
Oh, same here. Do you know why? Because I'm looking forward to that tension, that animosity. I really just want us to disagree on something completely, passionately disagree on something. Oh, it's going to be great. Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, you have that to look forward to, a weekly Edge of Discretion. Okie dokie. JD, thank you so much for joining me on this thing. I don't even know. Why am I treating you like you're a guest star on this? This is clearly something that you will need to do on every single retrospective that we have henceforth. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that you can follow JD on Twitter? Yes, that's right. There's this thing. Twitter. JD is on it. It's amazing. He's amazing. You should follow him. He is at Marius Kane. That is Kane with a K. And you can follow me as well if you like.
He is at Ponkin, P-O-N-K-E-N, Ponkin.
Oh, wow, a live rendition of the song. Nice. Thank you very much.
Wait until the Christmas episode. I'll do it in Jingle Bells theme.
Cha-chao, rock on, be radin, excellent to each other. Catch you next time.
It's been wonderful.
Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what you know in your heart to be the right thing and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Like us on Facebook, that's facebook.com/whobackwhen, all in one word. Find us on Google Plus, that's plus Who Back When, all in one word. And follow or add or like us there. I have no idea what it's called on Google Plus, but if you're on Google Plus, then you should do that. Check us out on SoundCloud, vote us up on Reddit, and have a peek around our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can leave a comment, submit a review of your own, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, and more, which is increasing in badassdom by the day. And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. Not only would it make us super chuffed, and it really would, but we're also planning a pretty fun surprise for everyone who has. That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other. Catch your earballs in our next Classic Who Review, New Who Review, or Audio Who Review. Ciao, ciao.
Who Back When?